I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good Friday, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, conservative casual Friday with Vito. I am Vito Esposito. It is nice to have you here today, a special Friday, sitting in for Andrew Harrod. And I hope many blessings around the world to all the Christians and Catholics out there. And as a reminder, if you're Catholic, today is the last Friday of Lent as far as meat goes. So no meat today. And in many areas, it's lunchtime where you're getting ready for lunch. So have that fish, have your tuna fish, have your macaroni and cheese, but refrain from meat today. It's the last Friday of Lent. Hello to Hank Jones of Poly Sports. Nice to see you, Hank. Check out Hank's show on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. Hello to our big, fat, soft underbelly, the Okie from Finoki. So nice to see you. And hello to everybody out there in podcast land. Thank you for joining today. It's going to be a quick hour. And don't forget, at 1 o'clock this afternoon is Annie at Southern Sense Talk Radio. Her and her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, have a show right here on Blog Talk Radio, 1 o'clock p.m. Southern Sense Talk Radio. So thank you for joining. I had titled the show today, "Are We a Country with Dementia?" And in my conversation with a friend, that'd be I guy, you know, he said, "Vito, I think our country has lost its way, lost its values." And I've certainly had this conversation with many, including Hank and Al and Belly and Holger and Sue from New Mexico. But for some reason, when I were talking, and he doesn't get riled up much, but he was pretty passionate. And I got to thinking about seriously what's happening in America, and I certainly am not in any way, shape, or form trying to make light of dementia. It is an awful and a horrible disease. And personally, I've been dealing with this on a personal level for a couple of years now. And when you look back at America's history, and you look back at even in recent history over the last 20 years, actually 22 years, we remember the acts of and the events of 9/11. It wasn't just some people may have done something. Some people did something. 19 Muslim men financed by Saudi Arabia terrorized America, attacked America. It was an act of war. They attacked New York City. They brought down two iconic buildings, the Twin Towers. They attacked Washington, D.C., the heart of our representative republic. Yeah, I didn't use the term democracy. Our representative republic, they attacked the Pentagon, the symbol of our defense, and attempted to attack either the White House or the U.S. Capitol. Either way, a symbol of America's constitutional republic, Washington, D.C. And thanks to Todd Beamer and company, and may God rest their souls, for bringing down that flight in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And for a few months there was euphoria in America. And we sort of remembered what patriotism was about. By God, we were attacked. America was attacked. And shit, that hasn't happened in how many years? 1941, December 7th. 70 years prior. Actually, 69 years prior. America acted and responded and then led the world in eradicating this imperialism and this scourge, and truly was a world leader. And sadly, in 2023, we don't have a leader in America. We don't have a leader in the White House. What we have is a wicked man. And given this is Good Friday, I'm going to read Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19, the wicked man. Verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. 13, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Verse 14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually, he sows discord. 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. 17, a proud look and lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 17 just so describes Joe Biden to a T. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. And 19, a false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. And I look back at the wicked man and the verses. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. And the White House continues their assault on our children today. Who would have ever thought that a regime in the White House, the Biden-Harris regime, would condone and would make such a vicious and vile statement that there should be no age limit to sex changes? This is from the Biden-Harris regime White House. Marxism tears down the very fabric of America's society, and a wicked man who speaks with a perverse mouth, with perversity in his heart and a lying tongue, who sows discord, advocates such evil of mutilating children. Children, a three-year-old can't buy a weapon, can't drink alcohol, buy alcohol, say certain can drink alcohol, but they can't buy alcohol. They can't even buy a pack of cigarettes. And yet you're telling us that a three-year-old is mature enough to make a decision to change their sex? I mean, have we lost our way? And when we look back at a country that was so revered around the world, was a world leader. And in 26 short months, the United States of America, all by design, mind you, is now taking a back seat to communism. Communist China now is the world leader. But this is no accident. And we have to remember this. And Guy and I got into this conversation yesterday and today, again this morning, and that's what inspired me once again to do a show and to go this route. America has dementia. America has forgot what its foundations were or are, and in some ways we didn't just forget, but this has been a planned dementia. This has been a planned action by those who despise our constitutional republic, that those who despise our way of life, our freedoms and our liberties. And sadly, it's this Marxist-Leninism now is being adopted and has been adopted by the Democrat Party. And let's not even talk about has been. It is adopted. It is a part of a platform by the Democrat Demented Party. Last week, I played a six-minute clip of Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB agent with the Soviet Union, whose job, okay, was to implement Marxist-Leninism in the United States, sell a propaganda. And all week, okay, what topics are capitalizing the information is transgenderism, trans. This has become now supposed to be a norm. And it's not normal. 0.5% of the population in America is dictating 100% of the topic. And it's wrong. Riley Gaines is being attacked because she's outspoken now that a biological man should not compete against biological women. She's absolutely 100% right. And this perversion has been adopted by the wicked man, Joe Biden, a political opportunist, a phony and a fraud. But the objective, let's go back to Yuri Bezmenov, the objective by the Soviet Union back prior to 1983 were four things: demoralization, destabilization, crisis, and normalization. And what we are seeing today is the normalization as part of the Marxist-Leninism objective. And here is Yuri Bezmenov, in his own words, talking about how he was appointed to implement this Marxist-Leninism in the United States of America. And we can sit there and we can state, oh, this is, you know, it was 1983. Excuse me. Look at what we are going through today in America. The demoralization of society. The destabilization. And how the Democrat Demented Party has funded Black Lives Matter, has funded anarchists with Antifa. And it's okay today to go into a Walgreens in San Francisco and steal the entire inventory. And then sit there and say, well, you know, these are poor people. Bullshit. You stole from a store. You stole from a grocery store. The destabilization of society. Are we in crisis? We are certainly getting there, especially with communist China now going around the world and making agreements, trade agreements, and pacts, and economic pacts with countries like Brazil, like France, like Belgium, like Russia, and now trading not in the U.S. dollar, which had been the world's norm, but trading in the yuan and trading in the currency of the nation that they agree to some sort of trade pact. And this is not making news. What's making news, okay, is are transgenders. What's making news is Joe Biden, the pervert in the White House, talking about transgenderism and allowing children of any age to get a sex change. Yes, we are in crisis mode, the third phase of implementing Marxist-Leninism. And the fourth is normalization. Normalizing this perversion, normalizing these actions that are one, un-American, they're un-Christian, they're ungodly, irrespective of your religious affiliation, they're ungodly. So here's Yuri Bezmenov in his own words, welcome, I guy. You have inspired this show today.
Mr. Bezmianov was born in 1939 in a suburb of Moscow. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He was educated in the elite schools inside the Soviet Union and became an expert in Indian culture and Indian languages. He had an outstanding career with Novosti, which was the, and still is, I should say, the press arm or the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over-fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it. Until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation. What matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world, that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely. Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, "Now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized." This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Leninists has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. The time bomb is ticking with every second. The disaster.
The time bomb is ticking every second. One note about Yuri Bezmenov. Soon after he gave this interview in 1983, late 1983, 84, he returned to Montreal to his wife and his child where he had defected. And coincidentally, he suffered a massive heart attack and died. Now, if you believe that it was just a coincidence at age 54 that he suffered a massive heart attack or died, we got some land and swampland in South Florida to sell you. There's no such thing as a coincidence, especially when an individual with such status as a Yuri Bezmenov defects from the KGB, at least back in 1983. But Mr. Bezmenov was very honest and candid and prolific in his deconstruction of what was being done. The Soviet propaganda and disinformation. And isn't it ironic that today, as soon as Joe Biden was installed, and as well as Kamala Harris, that the term disinformation became front and center in the United States. Anybody on the right, especially those now that are termed MAGA supporters, okay, and under Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the U.S. House, extreme MAGA supporters, okay, any time that a MAGA supporter uttered anything against the perverse anti-American regime of Biden-Harris, it was disinformation. The term disinformation became front and center. And that's what Marxists do. They use the term disinformation as they proceed to disinform and misinform the American people. And of course, the Biden regime put in place a perfect chimpanzee as Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, the perfect individual to further the campaign of disinformation and misinformation. The border's secure. So do we have dementia? Right before our eyes, as Mr. Bezmenov had stated, we could watch as millions of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pour through our southern borders. We watch it on a daily basis. We're watching the news. And we're watching people just flood across our borders. And yet, the Secretary of Homeland Security says the border is secure. But what you saw is what you didn't see, and you didn't see what you saw. the lack of moral standards is done by Americans to Americans. That was what Mr. Bezmenov had stated. Yuri Bezmenov stated that the lack of moral standards, it's done by Americans to Americans. Do we have dementia that we can't see this and be honest? Do we have dementia that America was founded on freedoms and liberties? It was not founded on a big government. When Ben Franklin was walking out of the conference, the convention in 1787, so 17, what form of government did you form? He said, a republic if you can keep it. 236 years later, our republic is under full assault, and it's under assault from within, done by Americans to Americans. Hello, Duck. Nice to see you. Happy Good Friday. In our U.S. Constitution, our founders wrote that our government is a republican form of government. They didn't say our government is a democracy form of government. They didn't say it was a Democrat form of government. They said our government was founded on a republican form of government. We have these things called a Bill of Rights, you know, like the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, do we have dementia when we see the President of the United States, this wicked man, weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after American citizens? Weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after political opponents? It needs to be said over and over again. The President of the United States is not a dictator. He's not an authoritarian ruler. He's not a king. We have this thing called the Bill of Rights. We have this thing called the U.S. Constitution. It's not a living and breathing document. And yet, the person who's installed in the White House today continues to use the Department of Justice as a political weapon to silence speech that they do not agree with, to silence individuals that they do not agree with, much like Barack Obama did while he was president of the United States. Oh, and who was his vice president? Joe Biden. Oh, well, guess what? That bad apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I was reading Conservative Treehouse this morning, in an article in Conservative Treehouse. Federal Elections Commissioner undermines entire Manhattan prosecution. The Trump-Daniels NDA is not an election campaign violation. Well, son of a gun, here are facts. What did Yuri Bezmenov talk about? He can sit there and show you the facts. He can show you in writing. And the lack of moral standards by this current regime in the White House will tell you that's not true. If the other substantive weaknesses in the politically construed Manhattan case against Donald Trump do not lead to a pretrial dismissal, this one should collapse it. The commissioner of the Federal Election Commission explicitly stated the payments by President Trump to Stormy Daniels are not an election campaign violation. Now, we all know how President Trump is despised by the establishment, is hated by the deep state in America. And we all know why, because he dared to make America great. He dared to live by or to adopt what our founders had decided America would be back in 1776. what our founders put in place in 1787. We all can agree, and it doesn't, I don't care what your party affiliation is, Donald Trump is the most hated man in America. But those who support him know that he's right. Know that he's a man that that stands alone. And here we go. The Federal Elections Commissioner has to be honest. I can't believe that this is what I'm saying, that he has to be honest. The payments by President Trump to Stormy Daniels are not an election campaign violation. A key member of the Federal Elections Commission today rejected the Manhattan District Attorney's indictment of former President Donald Trump as a violation of federal elections laws. It's not a campaign finance violation. It's not a reporting violation of any kind, said FEC Commissioner James E. Trey Traynor. In trying to stretch the law to make it look like a violation, he added, District Attorney Soros Alvin Bragg, or Alvin Bragg Soros, is really trying to make a square peg fit into a round hole. Now, first of all, I hope that James E. Trey Traynor has a food taster, because I would not put it beyond the Biden-Harris-Obama regime to Clintonize the individual. Yes, I'm making outlandish statements, okay? But at some point in time, this all has to resonate with the American people. And now the commissioner of the Federal Elections Commission comes out and says there is no campaign violation. That's the entire basis of Alvin Bragg Soros' indictment on President Trump. Why? It's to get Trump. It's to get you and me. It's to get we the people. Because the majority of the left wing has dementia. They've forgotten what it means to be patriotic. They've forgotten what it means to be an American. All this multicultural, political correct bullshit is a cancer on America's society, on America's foundation. Think about this. The Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas sits in front of a congressional hearing, a Senate panel, and says, our border's secure. There's no problem at the border. And Yuri Bezmenov, a KGB propagandist who defected to the United States, or defected to the West, I should say, stated that the Soviets' propaganda and disinformation was an ideological subversion, psychological warfare. You didn't see what you saw, and we're going to prove it to you. And this is what the American media has done, right? Done by Americans to Americans. So now we have a situation right now. The Federal Elections Commission, which monitors candidates' actions, which imposes penalties to candidates for public office who may have violated and breached their position. Ilhan Omar is a great example of that. She's been fined several thousand dollars, $15,000, incestuous Ilhan Omar, for campaign violations. And certainly she is no right winger, the representative of Mogadishu. And certainly Mr. Trump is not loved or not a beloved individual by the Washington DC deep state. And yet the Federal Elections Commission has to be honest. In a 34-count indictment of Trump, the first criminal case ever against the former president, Bragg Soros charged that a $130,000 payment made from former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen to porn star Stormy Daniels, which Cohen went to jail for in a plea deal, violated several campaign finance laws that splashed onto Trump. The FEC and Justice Department already considered the case and tossed it. Okay. The Federal Elections Commission and the Justice Department already considered the case and tossed it. Why is the district attorney, Alvin Bragg Soros, so intent on getting Trump? On getting you and me, we the people. Why? Well, because President Trump is a threat. President Trump is a threat to the establishment. He's a threat to the implementation of Marxist-Leninism in the United States. He's a threat to the perversion that has infected the United States of America. It's Good Friday. Our Lord and Savior was crucified on this day, and third day he rose again, and then we celebrate Easter on Sunday. I am not comparing Donald Trump to Jesus, okay? So all of this left-wing news outlets out there who thinks that the MAGA supporters look at Donald Trump as Jesus Christ, that is a lie. What we see is a man who's got guts. We the people, have asked for someone to have a set of balls to take on the establishment, to stop this insanity that has infected the United States of America, has stopped with this immoral objective by the left wing, the same left wing who took God out of their platform. Of course, there was so much outrage in America that they had to reluctantly put it back, but they attack Christianity on a daily basis. And all they've done since President Trump came down the escalator in 2016 was attack the man. Why? Because when you look around the country, whether it's 2016, 18, 19, 20, 2023, when he holds these rallies, when it's announced President Trump will be at a certain location, not just 100 people with two empty seats or 20 people with two empty seats, there's 25,000 people, there's 30,000, there's 35,000, there are tens of thousands of people. And all we want is someone who reveres the United States of America. All we want is someone who believes in the values of the United States of America. Someone who reveres the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, not abridging freedom of speech in a way that threatens individuals or groups because they happen to have a speech that opposes this immoral way of life. How about of the press? And while the majority of the press is controlled by the Democrat National Committee, and that's not the Democratic National Committee, it's the Democrat National Committee. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. There's nothing democratic about the Democrat Immoral Party. There is nothing democratic about the destructive Democrat Party. There is nothing democratic about it. The right of the people to peaceably assemble. This is not what the government wants, at least under the current ruling government, the current dictators in Washington, D.C. They don't want peaceful assembly. And that's why they embed their violent arms to disrupt this peaceful protesting, because they know the peaceful protesting is effective. It was effective with I Have a Dream. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. How about the Second Amendment? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, what part of that Second Amendment does Joe Biden not understand? What part of the Second Amendment does the wicked man Joe Biden not understand? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, even retards understand shall not be infringed. But the effort that's being made by this Marxist-Leninism mentality is to disarm the American people. 86 million lawful gun owners use their weapons properly. The government decides it is going to attack. The left-wing government is going to attack legal and lawful gun owners and abridge our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. Do we have dementia? Do we have dementia that we have it in writing? It's in stone. The Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And why do we allow Dementia Joe to get away with being anti-constitutional? His handlers are all over Twitter with Joe's face on it talking about banning assault weapons. Well, assault weapon term was created by the left wing, by the anti-gun movement in 1986. Suddenly, assault weapons came into fruition from 1986 to 2023. You see, words matter. Propaganda matters. Disinformation matters. And this is what Yuri Bezmenov was talking about. The campaign of disinformation and misinformation. And this is what the left wing has done masterfully. Disarm the American people. Disarm the American people with words. Disarm the American people with weapons. Disarm the American people of their liberties and their freedoms. And it's a great plan in order to dismantle our constitutional republic. And all you have to do is put the proper chimpanzee in the White House to make that effective. And the perfect wicked man is in the White House, using his Department of Justice to go after we the people. If you get a chance to go to Conservative Treehouse, the title of the article is FEC Commissioner Undermines Entire Manhattan Prosecution. The Trump-Daniels NDA is not an election campaign violation. I could read the whole thing. I'm not going to. It's incredible what we are seeing today. But there's been a mission since 2016, and it was written by the Democrat Destructive Party. The demented Democrat Party, it was written. It was called How We Resist Trump. And, you know, it's an attack on we the people. And we understand that government does act. But in this fashion, when it becomes dictatorial, it's time to stop. It's time to take action. And it's time to push back against the attack on we the people. And all they've done is go after President Trump for what? For being pro-American, for putting America first. You know, since 2020, since January of 2020, we've not heard a word about the U.S. taxpayer financing a $530 billion trade deficit with communist China. After President Trump signed that agreement with a reluctant President Xi of Communist China, the Chinese virus hits. The Wuhan flu hits. And we've not heard a thing about cutting the trade deficit with Communist China. You see, that was the last straw, I think. It was the last straw that Donald Trump crossed over the line. He took America away from the World Health Organization. He removed them from other world, what would you say, cabals. Took us off of took America out of the Paris Accord, which is the climate change hoax. It's a scam. It's the redistribution of wealth by the left wing. And then President Trump had the audacity to mandate that all NATO allies pay their fair share, which was 2% of their GDP, not 1%, not 0.75% like Italy, not 1.2% like Germany, not 4% like the United States, but 2% of your GDP. And he was successful, but he was excoriated right here. How dare you? How dare you? Well, guess what? Let's fast forward to today. Okay, with the feckless and the intentional destructive nature of this current regime, the Biden-Harris regime, Communist China now has gone to our NATO allies. This is brilliant. Because Communist China has their perfect chimpanzee in the White House, Joe Biden. He's bought and paid for by Red China. And of course, all these attacks on Trump are also a distraction, which I talked about last week. You know, the distraction of going after Trump. So you will not focus on Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. I mean, you've got Hunter Crackhead Biden or Cocaine Biden, and there's no talk by the DNC media. It's just constant burial news. But to get back to Communist China and NATO, just this past week, Communist China announced that the NATO partners now will start trading not in U.S. dollars, but in Communist Chinese yuan, and the currency of the nation that they're trading with. That's our NATO allies. We just let Finland was just let into NATO. Okay. NATO, we got to protect the Ukraine, the corrupt Ukraine. In the meantime, while we're talking about transgender and about allowing three-year-olds to get sex changed to make that decision, Communist China goes down to Brazil under the BRICS agreement, or a BRICS nation. It was an acronym by, I think, Goldman Sachs. Communist China and Brazil reach a trade agreement that they'll trade in each other's currency, and they're going to ditch the dollar. And now we've got our NATO allies. Okay. Remember how it was so disparaging for President Trump to demand that our NATO allies stick to the agreement of 2% of GDP. It was so disparaging. And so what does the NATO allies do? They stab America in the back while Joe Biden is eating his chocolate chip ice cream. And that demented imbecile, while he's having a brain freeze, sits idly by while Communist China forges an agreement with our NATO allies to trade not in the U.S. dollar, but to trade in the communist yuan and the country's currency. Same with Russia, ditching the U.S. dollar for trade, now trading in communist yuan. And the operative word, and I had this discussion with Igai, the operative word is communist. It is not just China. It is communist China. We have normalized China to the point where they've become the world leader. We've demonized President Trump, and we have an imbecile in the White House, the wicked man Joe Biden, who sits idly by as his financier, Communist China, starts gathering countries all over the world and changing. ditching the dollar, ditching the United States of America as a world leader. I really wanted to be positive today. I wanted to be positive today. And I had read on Twitter, and I follow Pat C. in Central Florida, and she had posted an article, or he had posted an article. Pat C. posted an article that arrest made after three teens were shot to death in Marion County. Three white girls were shot to death by three black men, aged 12 and 17, have been arrested. And speaking to iGuy, you know, we talk about the demoralization and the crisis that we're at. And this is what really, what's really bothersome, especially on Good Friday, is that the United States of America was a leader. And now we've normalized all of these immoral and perverted acts and continue to do so. And that's not the United States of America that our forefathers had envisioned, our parents had envisioned. And it's time to push back. We have a belief, many of us, that Jesus Christ was crucified today. We have a belief that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him should perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I read a statement by Eric Erickson. And I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of his. I don't like his never Trump mentality. But he has some pretty good religious beliefs. And today he writes, 2,000 years ago, a group of men flogged truth to within an inch of its life and then nailed truth to a cross, hoisted the cross in the air, and killed the truth. 3 days later, truth came out of the grave. Even secular historians consider Good Friday one of them, if not the most important events in human history. Truth came in the form of Jesus. We have more written about him, documenting his life nearer in time to his life than we do for many other ancient figures, including Roman emperors. Both the Roman historians and the New Testament authors wrote about him. His divinity claim is a separate claim from whether a man named Jesus lived, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died. Historically, it happened. It's also true that others met the same fate. What sets Jesus apart from the others is that the believers, now numbering over 2 billion on the planet, 2,000 years removed from the events, truly believe he literally, physically rose from the dead. That belief has changed history. It caused men to take up arms. It caused men to go to their deaths. It caused a vast array of people to travel the world sharing a simple message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but should be everlasting. John 3:16. And most of the time rejected the most people at that time rejected the message. Many today still do. That's what got me thinking about the Democrat Party, talking about rejecting. When the Romans dragged the second person of the Trinity who spoke the world into being before Pontius Pilate. Pilate said to him, "So you are king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." John 18:37. Pilate famously replied with a question, "What is truth?" Today, those who reject Christ cannot even tell us what a woman is. Truth, an absolute that is embodied in he who called himself the way, the truth, and the life, is now relative, fungible, and negotiable. Sunday is Easter Sunday. I would like to wish you all a blessed and happy Easter. I would like to thank you all for joining me today. We have other shows on Blog Talk Radio, on Global Patriot Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow night, we've got Minister Osama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent. I'm not sure I'll be doing a show since it's Easter Sunday. Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern time with Mama Mia No Sharia. And Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Poly Sports, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Coming up right after this show on Blog Talk Radio, check out Annie of Southern Sense Talk Radio with her great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. It's on from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, if you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. Does a great apolitical show, great self-help show, although his music is kind of questionable, but he does a great job. Audrey Russo, check out her show on Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She has a fantastic show, beautiful show. Her sidekick, Mr. P, does some great, great monologues. I'll be back next Friday, I'm sure, and we'll see what this normalization and this crisis and demoralization, how it continues this week. I also want to tell you about bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a great blog spot. Check it out. Bigfoot does a fantastic job in putting together a great blog. So thank you, Ducky. Thank you, Hank, from Hank Jones Poly Sports. iGuy, thank you for the inspiration for today's show. Belly, nice to see you. Holger, thank you. Sue from New Mexico. And thank you all in podcast. It's a good Friday. God bless you all, and please have a safe and happy Easter. Good night, folks. Or good night. It's still afternoon. Oh.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that. Tennessee,
Happy Easter, folks.